You would care to turn with me to the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. We will read the first 18 verses. And we will be giving our particular attention this evening to the verses 11 through 18. Let us give our undivided attention then to the reading of God's most holy word. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May God indeed bless both the reading and the hearing of his word. Congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Christ is obviously a very important event. It is a great event. And we praise God on this day, though we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Lord's Day. It is indeed well and good that we celebrate in a special way and take note that our Lord and Savior rose from the grave. Now, the resurrection of Christ is not only an important day, it is in fact the foundation of the gospel. It is what the good news of salvation is all about. If Christ had not risen, there would be no hope. There would be no salvation. If Christ had not risen, we would all still be dead in our sins and hopeless. Unless Jesus rose from the dead having suffered the punishment for sin, we would have no salvation. Yet Jesus is not just the risen Savior. And what I mean by that is that he is so much more than just simply the Savior who rose on the third day. He is the Lord. And he is the Lord who, after he arose from the grave, ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the head of his church. He is the Lord who has died so that you might live and serve Him because He is on the throne. You know, it really is possible, and in fact it happens all the time, and that is that people claim faith in Jesus Christ, do so sincerely. Many even who celebrate, of course, Easter. There are probably more people that have been involved in some sort of religious activity, church activity today, than in any other day of the year. And yet, it is very possible that many do not know the Lord as their Lord and Savior. It is very telling to consider the little incident which took place when Mary first saw Jesus. Jesus wanted her to know what it really meant that He had risen. More than just simply that she learned to recognize that He was alive. And I would like for us, for a few moments this evening, to look at that passage and to see exactly what Jesus is saying when He says to Mary, "Don't cling unto Me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." And as we do so, we want to learn more specifically about what it really means to have faith, true faith, to really recognize and see Jesus. Now, Mary is a woman who had great devotion to Jesus. She was concerned that the body be properly cared for. One could say, without any doubt, that there was no lacking on the part of Mary in terms of her dedication to Jesus. However, she did, of course, as did all of the disciples, lack in understanding of what was really going to take place and what Jesus was really all about. As we read, "For as yet they had not understood the Scriptures that He must rise from the dead." The resurrection itself is still part of God's revealing of Himself and the fullness of His plan of salvation unto His people. And so His disciples, even though they had been told, even though they should have known that He would rise again, and the women as well, yet they had not come to understand that revelation from God. Now, as was the custom at the time when people were buried, especially when they were buried in open tombs, as Christ was, in a cave where His body was laid, where one could walk in following the burial at any time, that they would provide for the care of the body. That is, they would apply certain perfumes and certain ointments. It was the normal sort of respectful way of providing for a dead body. Now remember, Jesus had died right at the end of the day on Friday. And so He was quickly buried because of the coming of the Sabbath day. And so the women, particularly Mary, as the story is told here in John, were anxious for the end of the Sabbath on Sunday morning so that they could go to the tomb and apply the ointments that had not yet been applied to the body of Jesus. And so the intent was to provide care, again showing the respect and the dedication on Mary's part for Jesus. Mary looked for the body of Jesus so that she might fulfill her desire to do all that she could for someone that she had loved. When she did not find a body, she inquired, she sought what would happen. She saw this person who happened, in fact, to be Jesus, but you didn't recognize him, thinking he was a gardener, that he knew where Jesus was. Now, of course, we can commend Mary for her desire to provide this service. It is a sign of her commitment to Jesus. But as I've already indicated with the other disciples, she should have known. She should not have been so surprised. And so we recognize that there is yet something lacking in her faith. There was no one who had looked for the resurrection. She had great devotion. She was dedicated to Jesus. She gave of herself, her efforts. Yet what was she dedicated to? Now we learn even more about the lack of faith here. There are several incidents when those quite familiar with Jesus did not at first recognize him after the resurrection, and actually saw him and confronted him, failed to recognize that it was Jesus. Was it simply because of unbelief? Was it because of their being so overcome with grief because their Lord had been crucified? Was it simply because of the unbelief? Jesus certainly appeared to them as the Jesus whom they knew. We know that there is a change in the resurrected body, but still it was the same Christ, the same person. The reality is simply the inability to see because of the problem with faith, the problem with believing. You see, she was unable to see Jesus because she did not have the faith by which she was able to see a resurrected Lord, one who had died. She had seen him die on a cross. She had seen him being laid in the tomb, being buried. And her faith was not such that she could see a resurrected Lord. Being convinced that Jesus had to be dead, even though he had told them that he would rise again, caused Mary and the disciples to not be able to see Jesus. How often do people see Jesus? How often do people even today become confronted with who Jesus is? It's right there. It's right obvious. You can tell your neighbor about him over and over and over until the Lord opens his eyes. He does not see Jesus. So there's a very, very important question here. What happens? What made the difference with Mary that all of a sudden she recognized Jesus and she saw that he was alive and she obviously believed that he was alive? Was she able to finally figure it out with all of her searching and going about and finding it and saying, oh yeah, I remember now and this makes sense, and came to it by her own conclusion? Was she able to understand because of her own righteousness and her own right standing with God that she came to that conclusion? No, not at all. What happened is that Jesus spoke to her. Jesus simply said, Mary. But it is Jesus who came to Mary. It is Jesus who said to her and called her name. Probably Miriam, which would have been the very familiar Aramaic. And when he speaks to her, when he makes himself known to her, she says, Rabboni. She recognizes and sees that it is Jesus. It is Jesus who calls to Mary. It is Jesus who brings Mary to the point that she recognizes him. The truth of God can be right there. And often we as God's people find ourselves coming across something that we have read many times. And all of a sudden, the truth of God is right there in front of us. It is there only when God opens up our eyes that we see it. The truth of the resurrection, which had been told here and which they even saw, can be right there. Unless Jesus comes to you and opens your eyes, as He did those of Mary, you will not see. Jesus made Himself known to Mary. But that's the exact thing that we want to notice here and rejoice in it again, is that is what Jesus does. Remember the 10th chapter of John, the chapter concerning the Good Shepherd, where Jesus Himself taught us that the shepherd knows his sheep, and the shepherd calls his sheep, and they hear his voice. It is because Jesus makes Himself known to you that you, as Mary, will see Him and call upon Him. Physically seeing Jesus is no different. He is as much revealed to you today spiritually as He was revealed to Jesus, to Mary. The question is, do you see Him? Do you hear His call as Mary did? And do you respond and recognize who He is as she did? Now again, think about what happens when Mary calls Jesus. She saw Jesus, she responded and called to her teacher. We know by that very brief confession, it doesn't say much at all. But when she says, Rabboni, she confessed and expressed her faith, because it was to the extent that she knew of her faith, to the extent it was revealed to her at that point in time by God, she recognized that Jesus was the one that she had followed. She was His disciple. This person alive speaking to her was the Jesus that she had known. And so when she says Rabboni, she is confessing Him. When Jesus makes Himself known to you, again, it is Jesus who comes to us. But when we see Jesus, what do? We confess Him. That is what knowing Jesus is all about. To confess Him. These two things go together. Jesus makes Himself known. If He truly makes Himself known to you, you will see Him. You will see Him. Now we get to this little interesting statement on the part of Jesus. John records that for us in his gospel. When, as we read in verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to Me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." What is this about? Was Mary attempting to hug Jesus and there was something wrong with this resurrected body, and that He had to first somehow make some connection with the Father before she could do that? I don't know whether Mary hugged Jesus or not. I don't think that's what this is all about. And I would also say that this is not just an interesting little side note that is insignificant. John recorded it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it is an important note to us. This is not about physical touching. Jesus was not preventing her from giving Him a hug. As I said, I don't know whether she did or not. She may well have. We do read in Matthew that they took hold of His feet and worshiped Him. Let us think about what had just taken place in the last several days. For those, particularly such as Mary, who were so close to Jesus. Remember the political situation and the religious situation that the disciples were in. Things were very, very tense. People were looking for someone to do something about being under the domination of the Roman Empire and all the difficulty that went with that. And yet that was a very tense situation. Any kind of uprising was immediately put down with great force. Finally, there is this group of people who think and are convinced that they have found the Messiah, the one who's going to deliver Israel, the people of God. And all of a sudden, things seem to fall apart. Not only did someone close to them, someone whom they loved, falsely be accused and be put to death, one of the most horrible ways of dying ever invented by human nature, but their spiritual leader, their Messiah, as they thought they had come, as they understood it, the one who was going to deliver Israel, all of a sudden all hope is gone again. But then Mary sees Jesus is there. He's alive. And so her view of things is to hang on in terms of the here and the now. What this means for Mary, here and now. For Mary and the others to just hang on to Jesus, to just have Him there, would simply benefit the immediate situation for them. But Jesus says, that is not what I came for. Jesus came to be on the throne, to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. What Jesus is saying to Mary is, don't put your faith in just what this means for you here and now in this particular situation. But here is the thing, to truly be devoted to Jesus is to live for Him, to serve Him. That means that Jesus must leave again and be seated at the right hand of God. That means that Mary and the apostles certainly and all the disciples must give themselves to serve Christ, even as many of them did, to be persecuted for that. Jesus came to save His people and with them build the kingdom of God. You are not here to see what Jesus has done for you today. Many of the crowds that I was referring to earlier that are filling the churches today, that's what they're about. It's a natural temptation for us. What has Jesus done for me lately? Mary is still learning about faith. She needed to do more than just recognize Jesus. Many recognize Jesus in some sense. Many are even devoted, as Mary was, to the idea of Jesus. They speak of Him as Jesus is what makes my life worth living. Jesus makes me feel good. And yet, it is not just about having good feelings about Jesus. It's not even just about being a member of a church. Though that is certainly important. When you confess Jesus, you need to recognize Him as the resurrected and the ascended Lord, the ascended King, as Mary was told to do and to go and tell the disciples to do. Thus, to recognize Jesus is to be ready to serve Him in His kingdom. That's how Jesus revealed Himself to Mary. Not just, I'm Jesus and I'm alive. He makes Himself known to her as the ascended Lord. The resurrection of Jesus is about the glorious kingdom of Christ. To celebrate the resurrection in faith is to live your life recognizing the risen Lord, the master of your life. And that means worship and faithful in all that you do. Indeed, Jesus did ascend to the Father. Indeed, the resurrection of Christ is a great thing. Many today worship Him, and that's good. We trust, we hope that they worship the Christ that had revealed Himself to Mary, that they might truly be ready to serve Him. I trust that's the Christ that you know. Not just the immediate there and what's in it for me now. Not just the self-serving. Because Jesus says to you today the same thing that he said to Mary. God has not called you to simply have an emotional tie to Jesus. Certainly, faith in Christ involves an emotional tie. Remember, Jesus said that there will be many who will say, "Jesus, Jesus," and he will say, "I never knew you." Jesus is asking you that if you are indeed celebrating the resurrection of Christ, then you will recognize him as the ascended Lord. That is, he is your king. You acknowledge his kingship in your life and all that you do. And here is the final thing that you must absolutely see if you see Jesus. You cannot begin to truly recognize Jesus as Lord if you do not worship him. Even in our worship, we do not gather just to say, "I worship Jesus." But we worship him so that we might be prepared to go and live for him. What do you cling to? What do you cling to? Do you cling to Jesus as something to hang on to simply for your comfort? Or do you cling to the commitment of living for God because Jesus rose from the dead? I call on you and trust that you cling to the resurrected Lord who has ascended and is the King of glory. Let us pray. Our God and Father, how we rejoice that our Lord has risen. But how we also rejoice and how thankful we are that we are reminded that we are not just confessing Jesus as the one who rose, who walked out of that grave, who was alive, as great as that is, but recognizing that he walked out so that he might be ascended to the Father and that he might be our King. And that we might be ready to give our lives to him. Let us cling unto that faith. May our eyes be opened, even as the eyes of Mary were, that we would recognize our Savior as she did. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.